Welcome to Your Ultimate Life Podcast, where we help you break free from mediocrity and create a life of purpose, prosperity, and joy. Get your free video series at yourultimatelife.ca.
Hello, hello, and welcome to this episode of Your Ultimate Life. Welcome to Your Ultimate Life, a life of purpose, prosperity, and joy. I hope that that's how your life is every day. Do you love like getting up in the morning every day for what you have to face or to do or to create? I do. And wasn't always that way. It wasn't always that way. There were many years, decades even, where I struggled to get up every day on time. And I had was going to exercise and do all the things. And I struggled. And there was a reason that I struggled. And that's because I had not created the person who loved getting up and diving into the day. I was a person who, I have all this I have to do. I can't wait till the day's done and I have 3 seconds to myself, that sort of feeling. And I didn't realize something really important. All day is myself. I have every single minute of the day to myself. It was a mistake for me to say, I only have 3 seconds to myself, because then that means everything else that I've agreed to do, or most everything that I've agreed to do, or I have on my calendar, or I am doing, I somehow don't want to be doing. I'd rather be doing something else. That's one of the things I don't like about the word obligation. The word obligation always feels like I have to, and I'd rather be doing something else. That's a weird thing, because that means an obligation carries the seeds of resentment. I'd rather be doing something else. That's not fun. It's not fun to live that way. It's not fun to look at your life that way, or even any substantial part of your life. I have to do this. Other people are depending on me. I'm supposed to do all these other things, and I'd really rather be something, right? Anything but this. So where does that come from? Why do we have this idea that we have all these obligations? You even hear people who are in a relationship with someone they chose to marry or be a partner with, and they talk about, I got to keep the wife or the husband happy. I got to do this. Happy wife, happy life, that kind of thing. All of those are statements of abdication. I got to do this. I'd rather do that. And I have to do it in order to have some other outcome. That's a whole life lived in a burdensome pain. I hate this. Why do I have this life? You have the life you created, right? That's what you have. You chose to take the job you have. You chose to buy the house you have, or the apartment, or not to buy one. You chose the partner you're with, or you chose to not have a partner. You chose to have kids or not have them. You chose to stay married or divorce or leave a partnership. You chose to stay in business, to keep a job, or to start your own business. You picked all those things. And everything else, how healthy you are, how much you exercise or don't, what you eat or what you don't eat, drugs you use or don't use, habits you have that serve you or don't, you picked all that. So did I. And sometimes, in fact, I would say very, very, very often, we make a choice. We get into the choice an hour, a day, a week, a month, a year, or a decade, and there are things that don't turn out the way you want. The partner isn't what you thought. Someone else doesn't behave like you want. The job turns out to be oppressive or a boring or a drudge, or the business you started maybe is successful, but it isn't providing you with daily fulfillment. So you keep doing it and you keep struggling with it. Now there's some choices here. I can quit. I can sell it. I can get out of that business. I can create a new business. I can sell this business and, or I can choose to change who I am in relation to the things that I've chosen. Now, a real easy example is a relationship. You get into a relationship, you have the honeymoon period and everything's fun and there's all this, physical attraction and everything. And then comes the part about getting along day to day, week to week, month to month, year to year. Maybe you have kids, maybe one or both of you has a job that isn't what you wanted. So you end up in this constant hamster wheel of, I don't like all or part of my life. I don't really know what to do about it. I don't have the courage to change it. And so then you say, I'm stuck. I'm stuck here. Golden handcuffs, marital handcuffs, kids, whatever it is. And then you stay stuck. Now, that is the story of a gigantic proportion of the population. Here's the truth. You created your life. You can uncreate it. You agreed to all the things that you're doing. You can get new, you can renegotiate the agreements. Now, there are always going to be consequences of renegotiating anything. Sometimes the consequences are really positive. You quit a job and you find a better one, right? Even though you might have been afraid to quit it. You decide, I don't want to end this relationship. That's what we were talking about. But instead of resenting it and staying negative towards it, I have to keep the, you know, partner happy kind of thing and feeling trapped, I choose to go to work on myself. Most people go to work on a relationship thinking that somehow they'll go to counseling or whatever, and the other person will be forced to see how stupid they are and change. That doesn't work like that. The only person you can change is you. So you choose to love more. You choose to be more patient, tolerant, kind. You choose to be the person that you think you are or you pretend you are. And then miracles often happen. Other people respond to those differences. Things change. Things get better. So here's the truth of creating life. Number one, you create every experience you have. I don't care what happens. That's just an event. You choose how you interpret it, how you deal with it, how you create from it, and everything else. So you choose every experience. The only person you control is yourself. In that control of yourself, you have infinite power. So you can create a beautiful situation while you look at things you want to change. So, for example, if your relationship sucks and you're not getting along well with your partner, you go to work on yourself. You change to be a loving and kind person all the time. And at the same time, make explorations about how they might be interested in making the relationship better. They may or they may not. But if you change yourself and you choose to love what is, you make yourself the very best person you can be without blaming or drama, then you are in a position to decide what really serves you, them, the situation. And then whatever you choose to do, you can do without guilt or shame or what I could have, should have done, all that sort of thing. But the key is you change you. You change you. You work on you. You get closer to yourself. You get closer to your God. You get closer to your partner. You pay attention to what they like, what they want, instead of looking what's in it for me, 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 W-I-I-F-M. So that is the foundational truth of growth. The only growth you can create is your own. This episode, with that preface, is about life integration. And I gave that introduction because it fits well with the last three episodes. Episode 58 was about getting information we need to create difference, create the ultimate life, purpose, prosperity, and joy. So it was about information that we go get. And we talked about how we often get stuck finding information because what we're really looking for is some magic bullet that will automatically fix everything without a ton of work. There's no such thing. So buckle in for the long haul. The 859, the last episode, was about transformation because the only value information has at all is if it causes some change, if it causes something to be different, if it causes you to take a different perspective, then take some action and create a different outcome. That process is transformation. And I gave five clear steps that are necessary to create a transformation or to reform something in a more positive, productive, and powerful way. Now, the third step in this, besides getting the information, making the information mean something by creating a transformation, is a life integration. So when you have changed something or transformed something, an attitude or a behavior or set of behaviors, then the next step is, how do I integrate that into the life that I have, into the set of commitments that I've made? Now, I'm intentionally avoiding the word obligations, because obligation creates that negative feeling. So from this moment forward, your challenge is quit using the word obligation. Try it for a week or a month or a year. Don't use it. Don't think of anything that way. Everything you have is a commitment. It's something you chose to do. Now, that it might sound like a small distinction, but it's actually massive. Because if I look at something and I say, that's my commitment, then I have the opportunity every time I touch that thing, whether it's spending time with a kid or going to work or working on improving my body health or something like that, I get to choose. Again, I am committed to this. I choose this. I lean into it. I love it. I am committed. And so the integration is the process of taking these transformations as they develop and after they develop and integrating them into your life. And that is the thing that lets you create in an ongoing basis the life that you want. I'm not going to repeat the stuff in 859 here, the five steps or five parts of creating massive transformation. I'm going to start at the end where you are, you know, you're well on your way to creating that transformation or you have it nailed. And then you start to say to yourself, okay, now that I am changed, I am no longer the same person in these areas, and I have intentionally created the steps to be transformed. And you do this, I do it, you do it, without trying to get somebody else to go along or to, you know, you do it because you said so. You do it because that's who you are. You do it because you decide, this is me. And the me is the person at the end of the transformation, whatever areas of life you're working on, or many areas. Then you say, okay, now that I am transforming or transformed, how do I integrate that into my life? What does that mean? Well, one thing it could mean, and this is these are all real. So this example is out of my own life. One piece of transformation that took place and how I integrated it in my life was this. I was raised with the same idea of, you know, obligations and bits of resentment and all that stuff with me. I experienced all that. And as you know, if you followed my story, I had three failed marriages. I was not a good partner. I didn't know how to do any of the things that I'm talking about now. Plus, I struggled for 35 years with deep clinical depression, and that had a whole bunch of consequences. But anyway, the transformation that I decided to do was this. I no longer have any obligations. Anything that's on my calendar or in my life is a commitment that I make. When it comes up, I'm going to choose to reaffirm that commitment. Reaffirming the commitment is a positive, energetic choice that says, ooh, I'm excited. I'm reaffirming the commitment I have to this person or thing. Now, I did that specifically in working on, I'm married to a delightful angel who's the most blessed creature on earth. Her name is Joy, and I love her dearly. And I said to myself, you know, I failed at this a lot of times. I'm going to change everything about me. And here's specifically what it is. I'm going to recommit my heart, my emotions, and my love every single day. And in fact, many times a day, every time I speak or interact. Now, that's a huge, daunting goal, and so it takes a lot of work. But it was a choice that I made. I say, this is my commitment, not my obligation. I don't have to, but it's my commitment. It's my commitment to me. It's my commitment to this new person. So step one in creating an integration is to have a vision of the new setting, the new process, the new life. So as I did that, I thought, okay, I'm going to have a situation. I'm going to create a situation where every verbal and energetic exchange, whether it's eyes or how you stand or your body language and words, that it's positive and reinforcing and loving. I'm going to do that. I choose that. I can't control how she talks. But I'm going to be positive, reinforcing, and loving every time I talk. Why? Because I said so. That is the transformation I want to create. And how I'm going to integrate it in my life is pay attention. Every time I speak, pay attention. Whether things are going the way I want or not. Instead of reacting, hey, how come this is not happening like I want, in a negative way, which is obligation, negative sort of thing, I'm going to say, how do I react with this with kindness and love? Not because I have to, I choose to. Because that's the transformation that I created. So the integration was to think, all right, what will this look like? And I picture regularly and did, still do during this development time, which is forever because development's a mountain without a top. What would it be like if every conversation were positive, uplifting, supportive, and so forth? Or if something irritated, I'm talking about Joy in this case, if something irritated her and she responds in some way, I'm not requiring her to do anything. My question to me now isn't how come this happened or how shouldn't you, none of that. It is, okay, this happened. How do I create in a positive, uplifting way? Well, I ask more questions. Oh, you seem upset. What happened to cause that? What's going on? What's not right? Instead of reacting. Now, that was a choice that I made to integrate this change in life. And what I noticed is that, wow, because I choose every time to just ask more questions and see what's going on, negativity disappears. There's no reactiveness. There's no defensiveness. There's no grumpiness. There's no pushback. All of that disappeared. Well, that was the vision I had. So the vision I created for this integration was, all right, what would it be like to have a life where all the conversations are positive? There's no anger. There's no negativity. There's no accusations. There's no rant, none of that. That was my vision. Now, when you create a vision, there are three parts. You need details, you need feelings, and you need reasons. Well, the details I've described, I was picturing conversations and even difficult ones. Where would they go? How would they look if I was always positive and looking for a way to be constructive and loving without regard to what she might do? So those were details. The feelings are part two. And I thought, wow, I'm going to feel really in integrity. I'm going to feel really good. I'm going to feel like I'm authentic with what I've declared and who I'm being. And the reason, which is the third thing, details, feelings, and reasons, the reason is because this is who I want to be. And you notice that that whole string of events is 100% dependent on me. I didn't have to, I don't require, I can't anyway, but I don't require that she react in a certain way or talk in a certain way or agree or do anything. This is all something I get to control. So what that did is it gave me a massive sense of ownership. I can own my own behavior. I can own every word I speak. I can own the tone and manner in which I speak it. I can own the fact that I can be curious when things go south. And they always do with everybody, you know, it's always situations. So instead of being upset, I can ask a question. Not an angry one. How come? No, but just what happened here? What can I do? What do we need to fix? What's next? You know, and in the context of looking for a solution. So the beauty of that is it's something you completely control yourself. Your own transformation is under your control. Absolutely. It doesn't depend on anyone else at all. Integrating your transformation into your life is 100% dependent on you. Nobody has to agree. Nobody has to play along. Nobody has to acknowledge you and say, ooh, you're different. I mean, it's all nice if that happens, but no one has to do that. And these are all pure things that you get to control yourself. This is how you create absolute sovereignty over your own life. Now that I've described sort of the visioning process and how you integrate a transformation, let's talk about the practical aspect. Because when you're making big changes in who you're being, I'm not talking about getting anyone else to change. When you choose to make changes in who you're being, it's difficult, especially if you have a long habit of a year or 10 or 20 or your whole life of thinking and feeling a certain way, of blaming others, of being afraid that you're not good enough, of feeling criticized all the time, of feeling like others are finding fault. All those things that I mentioned were certainly things that were part of my struggle. So when you're making that kind of integration, which involves implementing the transformation in real life, when the rubber meets the road, you can't do it all at once, especially if it's significant. So rather than set a goal of I'm going to do all of this all at once and be perfect and then be disappointed and then get frustrated and then give up and say it wasn't worth it, doesn't work, there's another possibility. And the possibility is incremental change. Now, ask any pilot, if they're flying a heading and they get a couple of degrees off heading, after a couple of hours, they're way different, in a way different place than they would have been if they'd stayed on the correct heading. So a tiny shift of a couple degrees makes a huge difference. So in an analogy for this situation, what would happen if you made a tiny improvement, a tiny process of growth? Let's go back to the practical. So I'm changing how I act, eliminate obligations, treat everything as a commitment, reaffirm my commitments at every opportunity, lean into them and love them just because I can. Again, it's a choice, and I find it hard. Ooh, there's a lot of resistance pushing back. Maybe she says something. I'm still talking about relationship. Maybe she's in a bad mood. Maybe she didn't get enough sleep. Maybe there's something grumpy going on. Maybe she stubbed her toe. Whatever. So I have trouble keeping my commitment to myself. So instead of, you know, just escalating and being angry, I can say, well, I'm going to improve 3% today. Or 1% or 5%. So that means out of 100 conversations, three of them, I will maintain absolute clarity of purpose and clarity of language and do exactly what I said. And if there's more than three where I win, I don't give up after three, but 3% improvement is my goal. If there's more than three, then I get extra credit today. I did extra good. The point of setting something up like that is to allow for growth. Growth in the universe, growth in the world, growth of an orange tree in the backyard takes place in a gradual fashion. I've told the story of our orange tree in Phoenix. We planted an orange tree and it grew well. We watered it, weeded it, and it was out of a pot. We got it at Costco or something. And then, you know, the summer came and there were no fruit. There was no fruit on it. I could have been mad, ripped it out and thrown it away. But I knew from some reading or whatever that orange trees, citrus in general, don't produce fruit the first year. So instead, I was patient and I waited. And the next year, I got great fruit. And the year after that, it kept getting more and more. And the oranges were great. And pretty soon we had so many, we couldn't even eat them all. So that is gradual growth. It is being patient with yourself while you integrate the transformations that you have created. So information, transformation, integration. Now, integration is a work. There is no integration of a difficult transformation that's going to somehow snap fingers and boom, you're done, you got it, nailed. That happens, that would be never or rarely, if ever, at all. So satisfy yourself with 1 or 2 or even 3% improvement. That's actually massive because at 1% in 90 days, you'll be 100% different, 90%. If you do 3% a day in a month, you'll be practically done. So 3% isn't a highfalutin goal. But the cumulative effect is going to be massive, and it won't be very long before your partner, and mine in this case, says, wow, this is way different. This is, you're doing this and this and this. I appreciate that. Wow, this is quite a thing. And it became that. And now, with that particular example, I exist. I live in a world where every conversation is positive. There's no negativity, no grumpiness, no ulterior motives, none of that. So that has evaporated from my life. And I use that one example all the way through the episode just for illustration purposes, but it's real in my life and it has made a massive difference. And I never ask anyone else to do anything. This was my project. Now, the reason that's important is we often point outside of us. When you say, what's wrong and what needs to change, we point at everybody else. Now, I'm not saying other people's actions, behavior, attitudes don't contribute to struggle. What I am saying is it will blow your mind how much power you individually alone have. So before you decide something can't change, change yourself. Create the transformation. Integrate it fully into your life and give it a bit of time, weeks or months, as you integrate something completely different. And what you'll see is your ability to control a situation or influence it strongly goes clear through the roof. And you'll realize you have way more control over the situation or influence than you could possibly imagine. So step one is the vision of what the new reality will look like, and that includes the details, the feelings, and the reasons. Step two is do it gradually, somewhere between 1% and 3% a day, implementing the change. Be compassionate. Forgive yourself. You're trying to do hard things, overcome habitual behavior. Step three has three words, measure, celebrate, and respect yourself. Love yourself. Repeat. So the three words are measure, celebrate, and I said respect, but that's part of celebration. So measure your progress, celebrate your wins, and then repeat the process. Measuring your progress, if you're talking about a relationship, could be the frequency of conversations that are uncomfortable. And when you change your behavior, they will go down. And you can control how much they go down by how much you change your behavior. We have this habit of blaming others and circumstance. Stop it. Stop it yesterminute. Take control of your life and change everything you can, and it will blow your mind how much power you have. So measure in whatever way makes sense based on the change. If you're getting healthy, obviously weight or weights you lift at the gym or time in a running or biking, you know, circuit, those kinds of things. Sales, if you're changing that, language and attention or lack of it in a relationship. Celebrate your wins. Take time to congratulate, recognize. Celebration is not just a token thing you do that's kind of stupid. It reinforces a behavior. If you think about dog training, when I first got a dog, I had no idea how to train a dog, and I was raised with a lot of brutal discipline in my young life. And so somehow I thought discipline was, you know, scold the dog or tie it, you know, tie its lead to something so they couldn't run around or something like that was appropriate to get the dog to behave. And it never works. Ask any dog trainer or read any book. You celebrate, you encourage behavior, and then you celebrate the wins. Encourage behavior and celebrate the wins. Encourage behavior and celebrate the wins. Negative reinforcement is a double whammy. It is demoralizing, number one. And two, it reduces people's willingness. It reduces your own willingness. Because remember, we're talking about you. It reduces your own willingness to move forward. So let's say you create a goal for yourself, even a 3% goal, and you blow it and you do 0% or a negative 2%. Now, you can forgive yourself and, you know, pick yourself up and fess up, clean it up, recommit, try again. That's fine. Or you can rip your own head off, call yourself names. You can't never do that. Or you can get mad at other people. Well, I was trying to do this, and yell and blame them. Neither one of those yelling, blaming, whether it's at yourself or at others, that doesn't do anything. So encourage and celebrate. Encourage and celebrate. It works training dogs. It works encouraging yourself. So celebrate. Figure out what things matter to you to create a celebration of keeping your word, making your 3%, growing your power to make the transformations you want, and affirming their importance and effectiveness. Now, of course, after you measure something, however makes sense, and you celebrate those wins, then you repeat it. And here's another thing. Repeating something becomes easier when, on the end of the repetition, if you succeed, there is recognition and celebration. And even if you fail, there is encouragement to try again. Repeating is a dreadful pain if it's, oh, I better succeed so I don't get screamed at, yelled at, or my head ripped off. You see the difference, and you've experienced that, and of course you know it. So the measurement, in other words, tracking what you're trying to change in whatever way makes sense, celebrate wins in a way that's consistent with, you know, the situation, and then repeat it. And when you use a positive type reinforcement, repeating it's easy. Because even if you fail, it wasn't like death. I don't want to do that again. In case I fail, then I face death. By screaming or, you know, death by whatever, embarrassment, cold shoulder, that is not effective reinforcement. So measure what you need to measure, celebrate your successes, however small, and then repeat with the added reinforcement of knowing that this is a growth process and you're safe. Whether you make it to the particular goal that day or not, you're still safe, you're loved, you're alive, you're okay. Now, this whole episode has been about you personally. This kind of feedback and interaction works when you're managing or supervising others or when you're in a relationship also with correct adaptations for the situation. But in this episode, I'm really just talking about you, how you take information, create transformation, then integrate it in your own life to make the kind of changes you want, to be the person you need to be, you want to be, you choose to be. And that is a big step forward in creating your ultimate life.
Open your heart, and this time around,
thank you for listening to today's episode. We hope that you take it deeply into your heart and decide for yourself how you can create anything you desire. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to this podcast and share it with your friends. As always, we'd love to hear your feedback and topic suggestions. Until tomorrow, this is Your Ultimate Life with host Kellen Flukiger.
Stand with your heart in the sky and your feet on the ground.